Well, tennis has balls in it.
Okie dokie, in V-Sports, I hit lots of bogeys. Here we go with another episode of the Four Man Wall, a podcast on Australian football slash soccer at its finest. I'm your host, Jashan, and joining me from the always sunny eastern suburbs, he's captain of a failing futsal team. It's the Melbourne City mega fan, Andy Gibson.
Thanks, Jashan. Way to bloody ruin my confidence straight off the bat. Bloody hell. No, we're going all right. We've got a couple of wins in the past couple of years, so that'll do. But excited to be back on the three-man wall this week. But yeah, good to be back after feels like a while since we've been together. And obviously, Damo's been away for quite a while now, so it's definitely great to see his beautiful face and hear his beautiful voice again. But yeah, looking forward to it because we've got a very big episode tonight ahead of a big final round of the home and away season.
Yeah, bloody streets, mate. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things happening in the world of football. The third voice you're going to hear is that of a man who is nearing a move to Auckland FC. On X, he's Player Oz Scopes. Here's Damon Sarah. Welcome back, Damo.
Yeah, look, guys, it's good to be back and can't wait to get into it. Happy to be back and support the Auckland FC boys and girls. And yeah, should be a good episode.
I've missed your accents, Damo.
We've been recording for 2 minutes. You've already dropped a Kiwi accent. This is ridiculous. It's not okay.
It was inevitable. It was inevitable.
Inevitable.
Don't say inevitable with that accent. Don't get Andy onto it as well. Oh, shit.
It's catching on.
Last but not least, Nicholas is out and about doing some in-person marketing for us at some sort of work function and cannot make it on tonight's podcast. But we are finally back with a close to four-man wall. It has been a crazy couple of months for all of us, personally, with trips and sicknesses and whatnots and things happening. And a crazy couple of weeks in the A-Leagues as well. Central Coast Mariners are playing as we speak. Damo, how are they going? Are they going all right?
Not really. They're actually struggling quite a bit. And no, they're not about to concede. So that's good.
Okay, sweet.
They're
hanging in there.
Live updates coming right at you.
Yeah, I'm glad they're playing because I was worried they'd be stuck in Europe for the rest of the year for a little bit there.
Yeah, I know. It didn't look good.
We're going to talk Liberty Finals. We're going to talk the road to the A-League Finals and we're going to split the wall. But first things first. An impromptu, should I say, Damo Decodes.
I was having a yarn with some bloke on Twitter.
With Richarlison doing his bloody pigeon dance and Zadkovich just two-footing him.
Nothing grinds my gears more.
Segment where Damo answers some questions,
yeah,
analyzes everything, decodes it all for us, and teaches us peasants and peons.
That's exactly what's going on. What it means.
In the world of football. Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Damo, are you ready for my question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. What was the best part of your New Zealand trip? Question one.
Oh, the views.
Oh. All right.
The views were awesome.
Okay.
The food.
The ladies.
Calm down, Andy. It's a family-friendly podcast.
Down, Andy. and third, the ladies.
Oh, my God. No.
Honestly, New Zealand, probably one of the chillest places you could go. Such a nice place. Such good people. Can't fault it. The food was immaculate. The meat pies, astonishing. And just could not recommend a place more than going to Queenstown or one of those places.
So good views. When we went to Sydney together, did you buy a meat pie while we were down there?
I don't know. I
reckon he would have.
But all I can tell you is that it definitely wasn't as good as what I had in New Zealand.
Whenever you go to a new city, do you just buy a meat pie straight away? Is that like your go-to? Or?
No, absolutely not. Just like we kind of drove in between all the major cities or towns, you could say. There wasn't much of a city. Christchurch, obviously. Well, along the roads, obviously, you go into these small towns and that's where you find the best food in the small towns, the bakeries and stuff. So, all the meat pies.
Nothing slaps harder than a small town bakery. Oh, this is very true.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So, we had a few meat pies and they were all delicious. Simply delicious. And, I was in awe of the quality, really.
That's fantastic. All right. Question number two, because I don't think we've actually talked about it on this podcast yet, but it's been out for a while. Did Auckland FC get it right with their colours and their logo?
Since you are now
a native Kiwi, so you should know.
I'd love to say yes, but I honestly think they kind of got it wrong.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's a bit minimalist. And I don't know if the
blue and the black
for me. I think they
go together.
There's too much blue, I think.
It's a weird blue too. Yeah. There's already lots of blue in the A-League. We've got the dark blues in two.
I know, but they're kind of going for an Internazionale sort of vibe.
Yes, it's very much Internazionale. Yeah,
but
it's weird.
I think the blue's too dark. I think the blue just needs to be a touch lighter. Like
the badge. On the badge, I think the blue Auckland FC or the AFC is too blue, and I think that could have just been white.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And
it's
still
hard
had
to,
the
hard to read.
It's hard to look at, honestly.
Yeah, it kind of just—it's just like a blur when you look at it.
A dark blur.
Hopefully they and the Mariners should have scored just then. Don't know how they did it.
Thanks, mate. That's it, mate. So, keep us updated.
Live updates coming right at you.
I like that. From our man on the ground, Damon
Sarah.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's a great save, actually, by the Kyrgyz keeper. So
It will be interesting to see if their jerseys just look like Inter jerseys, you know, the Black Knights.
Yeah, obviously we haven't seen... I mean, I'm hoping that's not their inaugural jersey. I hope they kind of update it before they start. But I think they've got so much potential with those colours. I think, I don't know if the stripes are going to do it though.
It's just Western United, but with a different colour.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when you go onto, I've seen it go around a few times, it's like when you go onto FIFA and you go create a club. It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it is a bit, eh?
So I really
agree, Andy. You're on the same kind of wavelength here with the colours and the jersey and the badge.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said before, I think the blue and the black are too similar. Like they're both obviously black, but like I think the blue's too dark and they just they don't contrast each other enough. And the badge is like you got to be like right up close to it to actually like make out what's in it. You know what I mean? Like that. Like Damo said, I think it would have been better with like the letters or something being white or at least a light colour so that you can actually distinguish it a bit more. But yeah, we'll see if they change it over before, you know, the start of next season. But I don't think they'll be changing the badge, you wouldn't think. But we'll see.
I don't have it on hand right now. Do they have the obviously the tower in the
I'm gonna look it up.
The badge? Tower. I think they
do. They have a tower in Auckland? I thought it was all just one story buildings out there. No?
No, they've got a tower. That's very
really
quintessential Auckland.
So that
Auckland have a tower.
Yeah, sorry guys. Yeah, the it does have their like the arrow sort of point of their at the top. But the letters AFC, it's kind of like a goldy sort of yellowy colour, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But the rest is just like blue and black. So I don't know. It's an interesting one. I'm not a graphic designer by any means, but
I feel like they should have consulted Western United on there. Definitely could have gotten the
W.
The what was it called? The Microsoft Word images or
Microsoft
Create.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, surprised their logo isn't just a big old A, you know, with a line through it. That would be really good.
Like shame. A 3D A.
Yeah, because it's 3D, it makes it look really good. Okay, last day motor cards. This is the most important one. Although it was nice to hear about your New Zealand trip, obviously. Don't get me wrong. But finally, what went wrong for the Oli Roos?
Oh, so much.
So much.
I think No, that's good defending by Farrell. coincidentally.
Winless and scoreless in the AFC Under-23 Championship.
Yep, so... What I think, obviously, didn't start off well with Irin Kunda's omission.
Yep.
From the team, I think
who
a lot of
has been very vocal since in saying that he actually wanted to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And as if you wouldn't.
Yeah.
As a player, you want to play every game that you want to play the biggest games, and I think Nestor is certainly one of those guys who wants to play in the biggest games and wants to be there. You can just tell that in his demeanour when he plays for Adelaide. He wants to better himself. He puts a lot of pressure on himself to perform. So I think, definitely we missed out there. But obviously because it's not a FIFA window, it's not agreed to... The clubs aren't, not compelled to let their players go. So obviously we missed Jordan Boss, who was coming back from injury anyway, Callum Neuenhoff, who was sort of injured anyway, and you've got Alex Robertson, who was sort of injured anyway. So actually my point here is not really lasting very well, is it? But regardless, Paddy Yazbek.
Keep going, brother. You're going strong. You're doing great.
Paddy Yazbek and a few other players who obviously Triantis, that would have played a part, large part in helping us qualify, they weren't there. So regardless, we obviously should have done a lot better than what we did. Didn't score a goal, obviously, in our three games. And the performances overall, just devoid of any spark.
We dominated possession in all the games.
Absolutely, we dominated possession, that's great. But we have nothing to show for it. It's at the end of the day, and that's what a lot of people are kind of becoming sort of infuriated with, is all our teams seem to be able to keep hold of the ball. That's no drama, but it's how we actually penetrate through a low block that, is going to get us the results. And from the Socceroos down all the way to the under-17s, it's the same story. We just cannot cut through. And whether that's got to do with the coaching, I'm a firm believer in that. I still think Tony Vidmar is not a good coach, not cut out for it. He has no proper credentials apart from just being a past Socceroo. So obviously it's the FA and... jobs for the boys kind of scenario here, but I really wish it wasn't, because there's definitely a lot of good coaches out there who have done the hard yards at the NPL level in underage teams for a long time that seemingly don't get any jobs, or you don't hear of young coaches getting chances to go to the national team to learn and to be there within a national team setting. So there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that isn't right, and I think that is always starting to peep its head whenever we go to these type of tournaments. It's either the players aren't cut out for the pressure of getting the job done, or the coaches themselves aren't. And we were lucky the last time we qualified for the World Cup. Graham Arnold said, you know what, I'm going to put my hand up. We're going to go to Thailand and we're going to qualify. And I would say he did that with an inferior squad. So, I think coaching is seriously a big issue at the moment with regards to our underage teams.
Yeah, totally fair. I'll rattle off a few names in this squad, like Aldo Qual, Mohamed Toure, Nico Milanovic, Jacob Holman, Lockie Brook, Keegan Yelichich, Ryan Teague. Like, Andy, you hear those names, are you thinking, like, these are guys who can score goals? I mean, Garon Qual was there, for fuck's sake.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, most of those names you just mentioned are proven goal scorers in the A-League. So, I'm not sure what's missing. Something in the team chemistry. Obviously, they don't get the chance to play together a lot. You could probably say that about all of the teams playing, really. That's how internationals work, especially at the younger age group. They haven't had a chance to play a lot of international football as of yet. But those names on paper are quality names and have got goals to their name in the league. So it's obviously a big step up when you go from domestic up to the international stage. But it's not, the best sign for the national team in the future, I guess, going forward. But, they are still young and hopefully they can improve, as I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an individual's, like, the cattle wasn't there per se, but I purely think it's a team management issue that is the thing that is holding us back quite considerably.
And so this means we don't make it to the Olympics, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Which sucks. Obviously, we want to.
Obviously, huge window, huge shopping window for whoever gets selected, and also a good opportunity to show that Australia can play football at the highest standard. And it's not happened, and very, very, very disappointing outcome. Considering this was considered probably a better group of players than our previous squad that qualified, so hugely disappointing.
Lots of talented players in that group, as I just mentioned. That's a shame. It's a shame. It really is. And I mean, a lot of the people on online and the Reddit and etc. are agreeing with you, Damo, in the sense that Tony Vidmar probably shouldn't have been hired in the first place. It's a bit of a little boys' club at that level in upper Football Australia kind of management levels. And even though he should be sacked, he probably won't.
No, absolutely not.
Because, he's mates with all of these guys. But moving forward to more, engaging and fun stuff. We're going to talk local football, the A-Leagues itself, as we ramp up. We've only got, two rounds to go? 27 games. We've just played 25. Yeah, we've got two rounds to go.
We're good.
I think.
One game to go.
Doesn't matter. We've got very few games to go. But Andy, I'll just rattle off. One game to go. On Google it says match day 26.
There
and
is another single game.
I'm confused.
Last week, yeah.
Wasn't last year 26?
Definitely only one more round left. But there's a game midweek next week with the delayed one.
Okay.
Central Coast. Yeah.
Of their flight situation getting stuck in Europe for so long. Right. Okay. Love it. Okay. All right. One round to go. Fantastic. But this the previous round that's just happened, I'll rattle off a few results. Newcastle and Wellington 1-1 draw. Melbourne City with a huge win over the Wanderers 2-1. The victory in Raw 0-0. MacArthur beat Sydney 1-0. And Western United beat Perth Glory 4-3.
Great game.
To get off the bottom of the table. Huge moment in football history, lads. But Andy, I'll ask you first.
Look,
what game do you want to talk
about? Hard to go past the Melbourne City and Wanderers game. Obviously a bit biased there, of course. But it was... nah, never.
No, 100% you biased? There's no way.
Yeah, no, great win from City, especially the first half, up 2-0 at half time, and ended up winning the game 2-1. So, credit to City. Big win away from home in an extremely important game that actually put City into the top six, above the Wanderers, who they beat. So now we are 2 points ahead of them, and it will come down to the final round. So massive, massive win in a high-pressure situation away from home. So, and some quality goals as well from City. But, the Wanderers did definitely turn things around the second half. They played a lot better, and obviously that's when they scored their one goal, but they definitely could have equalised or possibly won. So, good quality game, and it's made the last round even more interesting.
Yeah, right. So you guys are now 2 points ahead of Western Sydney, and you've got, I think it's a 16-point goal differential boost on them. Those big wins you guys have gotten this season are paying dividends. So you would need to lose your game, and the Wanderers would need to win. So that would be City. You guys are playing Western United, so definitely a winnable game for Melbourne City.
Yeah, in Melbourne.
And the Wanderers
well,
are playing
think,
Victory,
so,
which is
considerably paper far. City should make it, but in saying that, it is... this year, of course, it goes a number of wins, not goal difference, as the next. Although I don't think, if that would only come into play if
forgetting
City
that, God damn it,
against West United and the Wanderers were to win. If that was the case, I think they would actually go above us because they would have one more win than us, which is bloody annoying because we've got so many more goals than them goal difference. I know.
You got such
big
goals.
Like
got
I said, thanks to those big three games we've had, those three massive wins. We've also lost a game 6-0 this year as well, so it all bleeds out somewhat. That was against Adelaide early in the year.
The Roar.
Yeah, was that up the Roar? Up the Roar? Is that Ross Aloisi back then? I can't remember.
That was,
it's been a long season. Bloody hell.
I think that was Jesus. In between, that was the game after he left, I think. Anyway, reminiscing now.
for one game,
and he lost 8-1.
Luciano Triani. surely we get Luciano Triani to coach the Deliveries. Exactly. Right. I think that's the way to do it. But I just wanted to mention Western Sydney, like. Three games lost.
Score? Yes!
Woo!
Mariners
scored.
Have the Mariners scored?
Yeah.
Okay.
Young Miguel DiPizio scored.
Oh, we love Miguel DiPizio. So that's the 78th minute.
Clearly.
DiPizio scored to take the Mariners into the lead in the interzonal finals leg two.
Which would pocket them $750,000 USD.
That's not a bad payday, yeah.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
He's onside too. This will count.
Right?
It is 1-0.
Oh, massive. Massive performance from the boys.
Mark Jackson.
Take off your hat, Rov. Tip your hat.
Terrible touch. And then,
Damo's completely lost now. He's completely gone.
Yeah, look.
He's in full football mode.
That's good, actually. But what were we talking about? The Brisbane Roar.
No, we're talking about the West City Wanderers completely capitulating and choking when it matters most.
But
three losses in a row.
I was extremely happy to see young Marcus Yunus get on the score sheet after Marco Rudan completely chucked him under the bus the week prior for not tracking his man, which was complete bullshit.
Complete bullshit, agreed. I actually talked about this in the last podcast, which you obviously haven't listened to, so that's pretty rude.
Oh, he just wasn't listening.
Actually, I did, but... I had it on in the background, so...
I'll take it, thanks, man.
What do you think I was doing for my whole 2 weeks in New Zealand?
Just listening to the four-man wall on BP. Yeah.
There was at least 12 hours worth of driving that I had to fill in. So,
did any feedback for us? Any constructive criticism or no?
No, it was standard.
How good is Andy's voice on mine?
Mine? I don't know about quality. That.
Fucking quality.
Yeah.
Oh, quality. Mate, you sound crisp.
Nah,
always quality. He's the best one out of all.
Agreed, mate. He's quality like...
Almost 2-0 there. Good save by the keeper.
Okay, before this becomes a live stream, what has gone wrong for Marco Rudan and the Wanderers to capitulate to this extent? Because it's a good squad, it's a good team, it's just fallen apart.
I don't know whether it can be considered a good squad. There's some good individuals, but again, if the coach can't get it sorted, you don't have a chance, so... I think it all started with the derby for me. Just all the shenanigans surrounding it, all the politics around it, and obviously it's kind of infiltrated the dressing room a little bit, and it's affected the performances, no doubt.
Sorry, Damon, to cut you off, but The fact that he didn't show up to the press conference after that big loss as well, that didn't help.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And I honestly think that, it's getting to him a little bit. But I think it seems as though he thinks his job's pretty safe.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? Which is
the odd part for me. Yeah, exactly. You saw what he said about the restructuring of the NPL since he came in.
He's done a lot of good work from what I can tell.
But that's one thing, and then getting results, for the first team is a complete different thing as well. But you should be held severely accountable for that firstly. And then take credit when everything's going well for the NPL.
It's interesting
after that, but
but their NPL side is top of the table in their league by 7 points.
They are, but that's because they're playing a lot of their A League fringe players like Batalado, Blair, Eunice. All those guys are well within.
Yeah, but those guys are. Those are players who he's promoted to the first team.
Exactly. Like Larry, exactly. Yunus,
Aiden Hammond, Oscar Priestman.
That's
Priestman,
right, which is how it should be done because, I mean, you look at the Sydney FC and the Mariners team, there's looks like there's a lot more of a gap in between those squads because I think they are, on average, they're like 2 to 3 years younger than the Western Sydney squad. that's a whole different talking point in itself. But regardless, obviously they're doing well. So whether that's got to do with Marco Rudan or not is not for us.
Well, if you ask him, it's completely up to Marco Rudan.
Exactly.
He hired Jason Kolina. He hired Corey Gamero. He goes to all the games and it's all his doing.
You ask the people that were fired a few years ago, whether they think he's doing a good job or not. So,
ooh, cheeky.
Yeah.
Cheeky.
I always love them.
Anyway,
it sounds to me like you think Rudan should be fired, Andy.
No, I don't know about that. It's hard to tell. Like, I always enjoy listening to his press conferences, whether it's after a win or a loss. So he always has me hanging on every word because he's just
he's good value.
Yeah, he is. He is for entertainment
purposes. Yeah, but he shouldn't keep his job because he does presser.
No, I'm not saying that at all. But yeah, I just thought it was odd timing, his comments about the the NPL squad, and like, yeah, that's great. Obviously that he's improved the academy situation and NPL side is on top. But yeah, like it felt like a bit of a deflection, try and take the heat off himself a little bit for the A League results. And he did concede at the end that his job is the first team and bringing them success. So he just needs to do that, I guess. But yeah, like in other games, in other games recently, he said things like they've been a bit unlucky, a bit hard done by this and that. But I don't know, like luck comes and goes. I guess it goes both ways. Mm. So I feel like they should be. should be winning more than they have been, and they do have a pretty good squad, and you know, it doesn't all come down to luck losing those close games. You know, it comes down to a lot of things, fitness, you know, the mental side of it, and yeah,
management from the manager himself.
Yeah, that, exactly. Tactics, all that. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
he's I feel like he's on, I don't want to say thin ice, but I feel like he will be under a lot of pressure next season to at least make finals, but to go pretty deep into
Antonsson's
finals. Antonsson's
been shit, can I just say, the Swedish striker. Is he Swedish?
Yeah, I had a soft spot for him in the first 5 to 8 games. I thought he was probably a little bit unlucky with a few of his performances and a few shots that had gone just wide or hit the uprights, but I just think he's just hasn't been on it.
He's not a good
the whole season. No, he generally, you can see that there's quality there, but we just haven't seen it enough. The consistency is just all over the shop.
But meanwhile, you know, J-Mac starting up top for Melbourne City. He didn't score, but the win's a win, and Andy, you must be a very happy boy.
I am very happy, very happy. So, not good for Marco and the Wanderers, but good for City. We'll take it.
Absolutely. Damo, what game would you like to talk about from the round that has been?
I mean, I think we could talk about the the Western United win away in Perth.
Huge win.
Showing a little bit of resurgence, late season resurgence, the boys from the out west.
Yeah, mate, Tarnit was all they needed. They needed a home ground.
They're
playing good football.
And I honestly, can I tell you, I'm actually enjoying watching Western United.
Really?
I think they've been quite good the last couple of weeks.
Bloody hell.
Obviously, apart from when Lockie Wales gets on the ball, but...
Hey. Nestori Irinkunda might be going to Germany, but in the West, we love Wales.
That's it.
That was a banner that was up on the game. That's not original content, okay? It's not my content.
Yeah, look. It's hard to come back from that. So... Oh, there we go. I think that's 2-0 to the Mariners.
Okay. Hey. Fantastic segue. Fantastic segue.
Good on you, Michael Docker. He's helping us with the segues there.
Michael Docker.
That was fantastic.
But genuinely, really impressed with the way that John Aloisi's started to get a few guys from the academy involved and into proper good positions as well.
Did you just say you were impressed with John Aloisi?
I know. Taylor Swift would be rolling in her private jet, but...
rolling in her private jet. That's good.
That's a reference to the academy past, players.
Yeah, that was a reference to your own joke from a good couple of months ago. That was really well done. Which of the academy players have you been most impressed with for Western United? Who is kind of...
Firstly, obviously, Matt Grimaldi.
Yeah.
I think he's been excellent every single time he plays. He just looks quality on the ball. Always finds himself in between the lines, in space. Sort of the player that we needed at the qualifiers.
Mm.
But yeah, nevertheless. But also we saw what's his name? Abel Wallaty score his first goal in the A-League.
Yep.
And as well as Oli Lavalle. But it's been good seeing a few younger guys such as Kota Kador as well come into the side. At right back in Josh Risden's position whilst he's been out injured or suspended.
One or the other. I don't
know. Yeah, or dropped. But
it's obviously Nidovsky, I should say.
Nidovsky, Lisalowski as well. Lisalowski.
A lot of skis in here.
Around the squad. There's some good names. Some good names around there. And yeah, just obviously good to see their academy starting to bear some fruit. Obviously, with Melbourne City just abandoning their youth policy this year, it's been good to see Western United kind of step up and, you know, fill that void that Melbourne City, for some reason.
Excuse me, mate.
And Maxi Cabrino has gotten more starts this season than ever before. Yeah, that's the spirit. And they just signed Jaden Nukowski, the Joey's captain. He signed with Melbourne City the other day on a scholarship.
It's it's good good start, but I'll wait to be see it'll what happens next season.
Don't be such a party pooper, bro.
No, I just think I can't understand why they went the way they did this season. It's just it bamboozles me.
Because Marco Rudan has a fetish for older journeyman footballers.
Marco Rudan or
Vidmar Rado Vidicic, my bad. I got Rudan on the brain. Fuck. Oh no. Well, according to Marco, Rudan, Western Sydney have the best academy in the league, and it's completely
exactly. Doing, so.
You're killing me, both of you.
Well, it's crazy, but yeah, as I said, I don't know.
Yep.
I can't see what happened there.
Ultimately, that result and the 3-3 draw with Adelaide as well, combined with Perth just falling apart, has meant that Western United have gotten off the bottom, and Perth are officially the wooden spooners.
Yeah.
So, obviously
not a very big game. Lots of consequences riding on that one.
Exactly. Oof. Exactly right. But Andy, I wanted to message you.
That was a joke.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
No relegation.
Nah.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're going to get relegation soon with the NSD, surely.
Sure, yeah.
I've got faith. Andy, I've just sent you a name of a footballer because Damo was mentioning some good names just before, but I reckon this bloke's got the best name in the league.
I can't say.
Can you try to pronounce this for me?
Can't say I've heard of him. I will
first
give it a go.
First glory centre back, he's 20 years old.
Mm. Okay, I'll give it a go. Kalen Majekadunbi?
Mm.
That's pretty good, I reckon.
I think, that's pretty close.
Is it?
I reckon that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, eh? Yeah.
That's pretty good.
First try?
First try!
Yeah, I literally haven't heard of him.
That's not bad at all, mate. That's not bad at all.
I'm fairly confident in Kalen Majekadunbi, but I think that's pretty good.
Great, I'll take that.
That's a rare win. Majekadunbi or Majekadunbi? So,
pretty close either way, hey.
Do you guys reckon that obviously with Perth, they've conceded 62 goals this season, they've lost 4 of the last 5 games, and they're pretty lowly bottom of the table cellar dwellers. Does Alan Stajic deserve criticism, or is it just a matter of like he's just not had the tools to work with this year?
I mean, I'd probably say with the whole ownership thing, didn't help for the majority of the season.
But Newcastle don't even have owners, and they're not last. So does that?
Yeah, but I think they've got a very good manager in Robbie Stanton. So obviously, Alan Stajic, he's no bloody slouch, but I think. In terms of just the way things have panned out this season, it's hard. Obviously, being a Perth-based team is extremely hard when obviously every second weekend you're travelling at a very egregious amount of distance. So it's always hard. But again, there's sort of no excuses apart from not having an owner for the majority of the season. But Newcastle themselves, obviously with Stammer and been very good. I think they've actually overperformed to, you know, their abilities. So Perth have sort of just been there or thereabouts without being spectacular. So,
yeah
it's obviously a decent point you raise there, Deshaun, but what a shit season.
Yeah, I feel like with Perth, it's it feels like the same thing every year, at least for the last few years. Like, they start off the season positive, like you think, oh, this is the year they're going to turn things around, and, you know, they're playing good football, and, you know, before Christmas, and they get a few wins, and then the second half of the season, it just all, you know, they go back to their usual falls habits. Apart. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it just feels like the same story over and over again for me, for Perth.
I just think they obviously Daryl Latchman's contract runs out, I think, in a couple of weeks, so he'll definitely be off somewhere else. But they definitely need to shore up that defense. That'll be, I think, the new owners and potentially Alan Stajic's first priority for next year. I don't think Alan Stajic will be there. I don't know what his contract looks like, but potentially with the new owners, I reckon he may be gone. So,
yeah, you get the feeling
interesting
that
off-season ahead.
Yeah, definitely. You get the feeling that Ross Pellegrini, he seems to care anyway, and he seems to be really hurting with these big losses and
does,
finishing 12th. Yeah, so he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would you know, except finishing last and these big losses. So I reckon he'll make whatever changes are needed over the off season. So, yeah, I feel like, he probably will be in danger, Stajic, his job. So, because, he'll be keen.
As he should be in any in any other season, finishing last is...
He's getting
obviously
sack.
A sackable.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Unless you join Aloisi, obviously.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Well, exactly. You're right. Yeah,
you can't,
exactly.
Can't afford to sack
true.
Him, but... Yeah.
Yeah, but at least Alan Taylor Swift's backing there, so.
Yeah, exactly. Aloisi, a long-term Swiftie, obviously. God damn. All right. The game I wanted to bring up, I mean, that Central Ghost game. Oh, wait a second. No, they didn't play because they were stuck in Europe. No, never mind. Honestly, the rest of the games were kind of humdrum. Shout out to MacArthur for getting a needed victory over Sydney despite a very dubious red card given to Ivan Bleser.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Which has been rescinded.
It has, yes.
Thankfully, because that was absolute bullshit. Joe Lolly said it himself, it was bullshit. And I think a lot of Sydney FC players were in agreement with him. So I think the right decision has been made. It's just a shame that... a few other decisions earlier on in the season weren't seemed or deemed to be of the same pedigree, but obviously that is the world in which we live in.
Yeah, a bit of an it-is-what-it-is situation, unfortunately. Yeah. But I will mention the Brisbane Roar really needed to beat Newcastle last week, lost 2-0, and then we needed to beat... Melbourne victory in this game week to stay in with a chance.
Very, very lackluster game.
Hey, fucking Jason Guerrier gets a red card in the 51st minute. So we've got 40 minutes of playing against a 10-man side. We have 21 shots to 8, 60% possession to 40. Couldn't quite get it done, unfortunately. Don't know why Waddy didn't start. He's been looking pretty good. Don't know why Markovsky didn't start. He's been looking pretty good. Berenguer's not a striker, but that's okay. despite all of these odd decisions from our head coach, Ruben Zadkovich, I can't believe I'm saying this. I really can't. I'm getting a little bit emotional. He's been hired, signed
2 years.
Officially for the next two years.
Not just one.
Brisbane Roar. Not just 1 year. 2 years.
Oh no.
I'm just it's all falling apart. You know, this year started off so well with Ross, the boss, and then it's just gone like this.
It's ended with Zad.
It's ended with Zad.
Honestly, you can't make this stuff up. This is like a fantasy of Nick's, I reckon, that he's just made up.
I think Nick might actually run the simulation. He's doing that. He's pulling the strings as we speak.
Can't make this stuff up.
Fuck me. You boys know how I feel about Zadkovich and his lack of ability as a head coach, but what do you guys think of this as an appointment?
I mean, it is what it is, isn't it?
Well said.
Fuck you, all right?
Unfortunately, you know, it's anyone's guess as to what happens next year. I honestly think this was in the offing the whole time since the new owners came in. Obviously, post Ross Aloisi.
You don't think Ben Carr ever really had a chance?
I don't think Ben Carr ever had a chance. Obviously, the things that were kind of floating around the club around his departure probably translate to that. Obviously, if Ruben has the ideas and has explained those to the owners and his vision for the club, obviously, I'm expecting to see the comeback of Raw Salona next year.
Don't hold your breath.
But unfortunately.
I mean, the best thing he did was start to play those younger guys like Brownlee, Waddingham and Markovsky, and then he stopped playing them.
Yeah, Brownlee's been kind of pegged to the NPL team, which is odd. I know it's more game time, but I think he was doing more than enough to cement his place within, you know, a substitute role for 30 to 40 minutes every game, which is probably more valuable to in an A-League setting, but who am I to say otherwise?
Lord only knows, but shout out to Macklin Freak for winning Player of the Season awards.
Interesting decision, considering there is still one or two games left to go.
Brisbane wanted to get out of the way, mate. We've got our awards done, dusted, we're ready for the NRL season. The Broncos are looking good, we don't care
Did the last two games of last season count towards this season's two? I'm not too sure. So
that's too much maths for us Queens.
Exactly. That's too intense. So what was the point? Why not just wait until the actual end of the season to hash this out?
Speaking of maths, our next segment is called Split the Wall, and it's where my two beautiful co-hosts debate a specific question for us a minute each. Seconds each, and we've been doing a bit of this lately. So we did the Johnny one already. We did the wooden spoon, which has come to pass. I forget who predicted Perth, but I know one of you did. I think it might have been Andy, but I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Regardless, today we're doing the Golden Boot. We're doing the Golden Boot, and since you've been away for so long, Damo, I thought you could go first, right? So the question is simply, who is going to win the Golden Boot? Pretty straightforward.
Right. All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't sound ready. You sound pretty nervous.
No, I'm ready.
All right, you better be ready. This is some serious stuff. You got 1 minute, brother. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, just based on pure form, I think I'm going to have to say Adam Taggart.
Yeah.
I think he's got his, obviously, his goal-scoring boots on. He's fresh off a double. Obviously, Perth Glory, rock bottom of the A-League at the moment.
Yep.
Nothing to play for, so I think the pressure will be off Adam Taggart getting the golden boot. So he'll go out there and score a hat-trick in their next game. I don't think Bruno Fornaroli's got his goal-scoring boots on, so... Therefore, it opens up the boot, opens up the door for Taggart to kind of consolidate on his lead.
Throwing strays at Bruno. Well, that's time. Bloody hell, mate! No, Jesus. Yeah, it's a fair shot. Adam Taggart
I'm
is
fairly
he's
sure
currently leading.
He's 19 or 19.
Taggart's 19. Bruno's 18.
Yeah.
Amazon 16.
So I think I think the pressure's on Bruno to kind of get his.
Well, your time's up, Dave.
Can I just say before I get into mine, I picked Adam Paget to win the Golden Boot last time we spoke about this, which was probably like maybe 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago even.
Very unfair of me to pick.
Yeah, but this is with the wall, mate. This is different. This is a whole
new different. Okay. Yeah, righto, this is fair different. Enough.
And you can't pick Adam Taggart today, I'm sorry. But don't worry about it. I will give you credit if he does end up winning the Golden Boot. It's all cool. You. But are you ready? Good.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, yep, go for it.
All right. Bring the heat, Andy.
All right, well, this is a nice, easy one. Doesn't leave me too many options. I'm going to obviously go Bruno because third place we've got Stamatopoulos. he's on 16 goals, so he needs 4 goals to overtake Taggart, and that's if Taggart doesn't score any. So I'm ruling him out. He's not scoring 4 goals this weekend, so goodbye. So that only leaves Bruno. He's 1 goal behind, and he's going to bloody do it. And I don't care what you say. I'm bringing the heat. I know I said Taggart was going to win it a few weeks ago, but, you know, things can change. Victory have got a lot to play for. Fornaroli's going to say, right, we need to win this game. I'm going to do it off my boot. Taggart's going to be like, oh, it's a wooden spoon. We've won the wooden spoon already. You know, I'm going on holiday next week. Stuff it. I'm going to just walk around the park just to try not to get injured. So, yep, Taggart's going to have a quiet one. Fornaroli's going to score a hat-trick. And, we'll take home the gold boot. Done.
That's time. Wow. mate, I asked you to bring the heat and you did it. You brought that heat. That was fantastic. That was
so are you obviously the sole judge of this?
I am the sole judge of this. I choose. And I am unbiased in my decision. This is not rigged in any way.
I'll give you
Stammer's going to score a hat trick. Bruno's going to score one and Taggart's not going to score. We're going to have a three-way tie.
Three-way tie? Imagine that.
I reckon, yeah. And Ibasuki's going to score 6.
Ibasuki?
Make it a 4-way tie. Absolutely. Yeah, look, you both spoke really, really well.
Thanks, mate.
You know, we had Damo coming through with that kind of measured, calculated response. And Andy, you brought that heat. And I've got to tell you, your point at the end with Adam, you know, Perth have already got the wooden spoon. They've got nothing to play for. Why is he going to put the effort in? I totally get that. And I agree with you. So Andy gets the points.
Yeah. Bruno,
Andy, done.
Thank Ash you Marius very much. Wall.
What do you mean?
Thank you.
if they've got nothing to play for, of course Adam Taggart's going to score some goals so that they've actually taken
home. Nah, mate.
Something. And, you know, funnily enough, Damo, this brings the season total to Nick with 2 wins. Damo with 4 wins and Andy also with 4 wins.
Oh,
bullshit. Close.
Oh, yeah, it's getting tight. It's getting tight.
Tied up the top there.
It's close, boys.
Yeah, Damo,
do I have a bye next week?
That pretty much
cancels me out.
No, we've got to keep playing for the finals. True.
Yeah, don't
worry, I've got it all under control. It's okay. let's move forward.
Before we move on, Shah, I'll just quickly say, you mentioned Ibasuki might score 6 goals. What about Tolga Arson? He's also on 13 goals. He might score 6 goals this weekend. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's also another player there who's on 13 goals, but we're not going to mention him.
No, we're not.
Yeah, look, Tolga Arslan could do it. He's got that kind of talent. And can I just say, ever since Nick talked shit about him on this podcast, Arslan's been tearing it up.
He has been, pitch. Yeah.
Like, been really, really good, yeah.
Maybe he listens and we just don't know.
That's it, mate. That's it.
All since right. he came back from abusing the ref, he's been great.
Yeah.
Exactly. He just needed a break. He needed to go up to fucking Italy or wherever to go.
Maybe he was just on the Gold Coast for 4 weeks and just, you know, on surfing every day and relaxing.
It's not always the Gold Coast, Andy. Well, it's not always the bloody Gold just went to New Zealand and said it was the most beautiful place ever. It's not always Gold Coast.
Maybe he was in New Zealand.
Bloody. Maybe he was in New Zealand. Maybe he was in Waratah Bay. I don't know.
Maybe he was living next door when he stayed there.
Can I just say a quick shout out to Nestori Irinkunda against Western United, tearing up Ben Caruccio, much like this podcast tears up football friends with Ben and Steph. This is a much superior podcast.
Get
Four
stuck,
Men Wall. You can follow us at Online Hub Media on Instagrams, at fourmen.wall on the Instagrams as well. www.onlinehubmedia.com is the website. Thank you all who are listening. We really appreciate you. But we're going to move forward into the news. Damo's got a really weird look on his face right now. You're looking a little bit irked. He's not happy with the wall decision.
Yeah, he's still fuming. It's been rough, you reckon?
Yeah, totally fair. Well, I'll make you feel better because my first burning question is directed at you, and it's something you love talking about. I read an article on FTBL football. The NSD be more successful than the A-League? That is my first burning question to you, Damo. What do you reckon?
Burnt extra crispy.
I don't know how that could possibly be, but obviously...
Fair enough.
With it being a potential, you know, competition that implements promotion and relegation, I can see how that could potentially be a factor. But obviously, you've also got the factor of all the clubs being existing teams, and obviously, those teams carried a lot of support in the previous competitions. So... yeah, I can see how people might think that, but whether they bring the fans and whether they can fill the stadiums is a whole different question. And a lot of the people that you encounter on X probably would tell you that they're going to pack out every game.
Yes.
That's definitely not true. So whether that it's a better product or not, yeah, obviously, shooting, you know, strays there, so.
Damo is running off the strays today. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Totally fair. Okay. And that, with that being said, obviously, time will tell with the NSD once it comes into action next season, I believe. Next season?
Well, at the end of next year.
Mmm. Beautiful. Very exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. I'm going to run off a few little headlines here before we get to the big story. So, Tottenham Hotspur apparently interested in Thomas Waddingham. This is a rumour, not confirmed at all, but that's kind of fun, right? Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
Not bad.
Very interesting. I'll probably see this as a Nesteria and Kunde to Bayern Munich type move.
Right.
Where I don't expect him to be anywhere near the first team.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's kind of farmed out. Or Garen Kroll, actually. Garen Kroll situation is probably more, more similar. So.
What will be playing for Volendam in no time, fellas?
Well, the thing is that, I agree, is that the Tottenham fans on X are saying, you know, he's probably no better than what they've got in their development squad at the moment. And I totally agree. I think Jamie Donnelly, who's an incredibly good player, should be getting more chances in the Tottenham first team, but he isn't. But he's a quality player. As well as, I think there's another player there that should be getting game time with Tottenham too, but... unfortunately,
how much time do you spend on X?
A fair bit.
We need this.
So,
are you trying to criticize Ange Postecoglou on this podcast?
I won't. Right. But certainly, he could be doing a bit more for the youngsters at Tottenham. Mm. But obviously. The Premier League is a hard business to crack, so you got to do what you got to do. But Waddy, I think that's it'd be a well-deserved kind of sort of show of, that his ability is certainly there. Yeah, and absolutely. I think that he's, definitely someone that could potentially kick on and someone who could potentially not. It's just the way it is in football, so... That's what these big Premier League clubs and big teams all over Europe have sort of decided to do. They've decided to just farm all the young talent that they possibly can, and if one sticks, that's great. If they don't,
It's like the music labels with the artists they sign. You know, for every 200 flogs, you get one Taylor Swift, and that's what
exactly. So that's right. Exactly, it's the same thing.
And just gotta obviously keep bringing up Taylor Swift, fellas. That's all you need to do.
It's absolutely to the detriment of Australian clubs, because you know I think these players are certainly worth more than the 200k that they go for. Obviously, the clubs here need to do more to drive up that price, and they can't do anything about it because you know that 200 grand to 500 grand could make a whole load of difference to the club actually surviving. So,
and on that, Adelaide are supposedly set for a big clear out, and it's begun with Moussa Touré apparently on the way to an unnamed Ligue 1 side over there in France. That's a rumour, not confirmed yet. But what has been confirmed is Bovolina. Is it Giuseppe Bovolina?
Yeah, Giuseppe.
Ah, sorry, what was that?
Giuseppe.
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 A Giuseppe?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Giuseppe Bovolina?
Si.
grazie. He's been sold to Vancouver. Vancouver over there in the MLS. I honestly don't think he's that good, quite frankly. But off he goes, making Adelaide some money.
He has been good, I think. He's got some very good attributes that are certainly very attractive. I think he's very good in the air. He's quite a good crosser and gets up and down the wing quite a bit. So he's definitely got a lot of potential. And I actually think this is a really good move because I think the MLS is certainly a league that's coming on in leaps and bounds in terms of being able to produce talent capable of going to Europe and doing a decent job. Obviously, we saw
it. Like, sorry, keep going. Keep going.
I was just going to say how Riley McGree never actually played a game. But,
fair fucks. I just wanted to say that Bovolina is supposed to be a defender and the Adelaide defense has been shit this year. That's all I was going to say. I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
He wasn't even, obviously, Pinesh Madania started in the right back position at the start of the season and he got injured. And Bovolina was his replacement. So Pinesh Madania himself is certainly not a defender. He's a winger that's been kind of just chucked in the deep end there and he's done quite well. But it's sort of similar situation. So maybe they just need a right back.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Instead of right wing.
Andy, I'll ask this question to you. Harry Kewell, he's a few games away from potentially winning the Asian Champions League with the team that all the Aussie coaches coach, Yokohama F. Mariners. If he wins the Asian Champions League, does he leapfrog Kevin Muscat in the Aussie coach standings in your mind?
Good question. I think it definitely at least brings him a level. Muscat didn't win the Champions League with him, did he? He won the league, but not the
He won the league, not the Champions League, yep.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe it does take him above Muscat then, if he does it. I mean, like, that's no mean feat, you know, winning the Champions League, obviously. Mm. So, obviously, it hasn't happened yet, but if he does, like, that is an incredible achievement in itself. So, yeah, I'd say it probably does, to be honest.
Yeah. Bang on. Love that from you. Concise, solid, very poignant. Very poignant.
Thanks, mate. Word of the day.
Great stuff. Andy's on fire today. I will just take this time, because the next news headline in my list of news headlines is unfortunately this Angel Torres situation. I don't want to dwell on this. If you're listening and you follow the A-Leagues, look it up in your own time. But basically, I think the punishment handed out is correct. Obviously, nothing's been confirmed yet, but he should not be playing. Players like that should not be playing, and he should be in prison if the allegations are true. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say, basically. And I think we can move on. Yes?
Yeah, well said. Move on.
All right, yeah.
Sweet. Fantastic. Ah, something. Oh. Tom Aldred, this is actually, like, I think Tommy Aldred's had a bad season, but he has been a good servant to the Brisbane Roar for 5 years. He's been captain for 5 years. He's been captain the entire time. And he's going to be on the way out to Western Sydney or potentially the Kerala Blasters. Who's that? That's a story.
That's Adrian Luna, his team, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Random thought there.
Yeah.
With fun that, facts with Andy?
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
only if it's an ex-City player.
Yeah, he should go to Mohun Bagoon and play with
Mohun Bagoon.
Jimmy Petrados. I don't know, that's probably not how you pronounce it. Yeah, Adrian Luna plays for the Kerala Blasters. There nicely done.
Thank you.
Very nicely done, respect. And then his centre-back partner, Kai Truwen, and this one I'm a little bit more emotional about, is also allegedly on the way out. Andy, I'll ask you a burning question. How do you feel about Kai Truwen to Melbourne City?
Yeah, look, I mean, your loss is my gain, I guess, isn't it? I'm quite positive about that, if it is true. Obviously, it's still just a rumour at this stage, but these things often do come true. And, Curtis Good's obviously getting towards the tail end of his career, so I feel like he would be a very good replacement, and he's only young, so he's got a lot of great football ahead of him, I'm sure. And as you obviously know, Deshaun, as a Raw fan, he brings a lot to the team. So I'd love to see him come to City if I had it my way.
Yeah, it's a tough loss.
If that does come to pass,
I'll be not pleased. And as far as I'm concerned, that's yet another knock on Ruben Zadkovic as a head coach. If you want to be a good head coach, keep your good players, you dog.
Yeah. Okay, that's a bit exactly. Much, isn't it?
get fired up. Let's go. Let's get fired up. Oh, love it. Jesus Christ. Ah, Jesus Christ. Any of you boys going to be in Sydney over the next few days?
Nah, why?
Let me just check my calendar.
Check the schedule.
You're a busy guy, Dave.
Yeah, I'm not going to be in Sydney this week. What is that?
That's a shame. Because if you were, you could go to this very fancy $3,000 a head dinner that Graham Arnold is attending with Francesco Totti.
$3,000 a head.
That's good value.
Good value.
That's good value.
Hey, give me great.
What kind of Italian food do you reckon they're selling for it to be worth $3,000 a head?
Gourmet meat pies. Imported from New Zealand.
Not Italian, mate.
Obviously.
Have they been buying Serra Posada for this restaurant? Is this you guys import?
Well, they should, because they're only the best.
Yeah,
the best,
true.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
Chad. Apparently, Arnie and Totti, and Francesco Totti, obviously a legend of football, is Christian Volpato's agent. And apparently, the two of them are having a chat to discuss Mr. Volpato's allegiances. Do either of you have faith that Arnie can get it done?
Not really.
Convince Christian Volpato that really. The Socceroos are the greener pastures.
Nah, not if the way it's gone so far is anything to go on, you know. He's publicly said in the past that he is not intending to join the Socceroos. So, I don't have great confidence in it, but you never know.
Totally fair.
I guess it probably comes down to how much game time he does get with the Italian national team. If he's not getting anything, if he's not getting a look in, well, you know, and he wants to play international football, maybe he'll have to if he wants to play international football. But
You've got to look at Sassuolo's situation at the moment, and it looks like they will be getting relegated. So, I cannot see him playing for the national team.
Has Volpato been playing well in that or no?
I mean, he's sort of been all right, I'd say. Hasn't been great, but neither have Sassuolo, to be fair. So, I think would actually do his career probably good with a relegation into Serie B, where he'd probably get a little bit more game time, probably get on the score sheet a little bit more. So I think he was always going to play for Australia, but I just think the longer he kind of drags on this whole debacle, I think it's to his detriment. So,
and it does feel like it's dragged on, doesn't it? Like, just being gone on for ages for what it feels like.
Exactly. And by the time he actually plays for us, you just wonder, was it actually worth it?
All that time wasted. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there'd be so much pressure on him if he ever does play for the Socceroos as well.
Yeah, true. Good point, actually.
Yes and no. I think there's probably more pressure on him if he plays for the Italian national team. Obviously, the expectations
bit being higher. Good.
So,
That's true. Be a bit more ruthless and cutthroat there, I reckon.
Maybe if Arnie pays the entire bill, then Toddy can convince Volpato, right?
take him to this restaurant.
Graham Arnold would offer to pay.
You don't think Arnie's the kind of guy who offers to pay the bill?
No.
That's brutal. Okay. Damn. Okay, that's depressing. And I kind of agree with you, which is also pretty depressing. I reckon we've got one more news story, then we are going to move forward to the A-League Liberty and wrap things up. Andy, I reckon we do the A-League All-Stars next week because we've already crossed an hour.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Right. Sounds good.
Actually, we're at an hour at 10. Bloody hell. Fuck my life. Okay. Lee Broxham is retiring at the end of this season. Yeah. 18 years he's played in this league, and now he's done. I think he has the record for caps. Am I right in saying that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Bloody hell. We're going to miss Lee Broxham?
No. Yeah. Going to miss the DJ. DJ Brox.
DJ Brox. Fucking just like hell.
One of those ultimate, I think I read it on X again. someone said he was an ultimate break glass in case of emergency type player. Just filled every role perfectly and just did his job to like 98%. Of its capability. So, certainly a legend of the A-League and Melbourne Victory. And obviously, I honestly think he's probably the last of, there's still a couple going around, but like the last of your one club type.
Yeah, that's an incredible achievement in itself to be a one club player for 18 years. I mean, you're lucky to get a player for more than 2 years these days in the A-League, like at one club. So, good on him.
No, it's massive. Very impressive. He's always really, been there or thereabouts. Like a
really only player. Got Ryan Grant left, and that's it.
Ryan Grant's been at Sydney his entire career?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Long time.
And obviously, maybe. Yeah, there's a few. I mean, Alex Rufus has been at Wellington.
Yeah, but Rufus is still young. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right.
And after this season, I reckon he might start attracting interest from
elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's 27. He's not young, but he's young enough, right?
Like, exactly. It feels like he's been around forever anyway.
Yeah, fucking oath. All right. Let's move forward. The A-League Liberty. It's deep into the finals. The first legs of the semis have already been played. Melbourne City beat Newcastle 3-0 in front of a record crowd for the Newcastle Jets. Unfortunate for those fans, but Melbourne City looking good. And Sydney FC beat Central Coast 1-0. Either of you boys watch these games?
No.
Nah, can't say. Me neither, unfortunately. But yeah, I did see that there was a record crowd up in Newey. So, yeah.
I'll take it from here in that case. I'll take it from here. Melbourne City looking too good. They're dominating right now. Obviously won the Premiership already, so they're looking to make it two championships from two this season. Sydney, it was a scrappy game against Central Coast, but they looked pretty solid as well. And obviously was trying to make it to their seventh consecutive grand final, which is pretty crazy to think about. But we'll have to do it without Princess Abini, their captain, who dislocated her shoulder for the third time in her career, which is...
Ouch.
Rough, to say the least.
Classic Abini needs those.
classic Abini situation. It's rough. But yeah, Sydney have had some issues with injuries all season, so they're battling. But they're battling hard. Courtney Vine's still out there killing it, you know, doing a thing. So it looks like Melbourne City are pretty much locked in to the grand final, barring a tremendous comeback from the Jets. But, you know, Sydney and Central Coast, it's all kind of to play for there. But I will ask the final burning question of the night. Make a quick prediction. Who's going to win the Liberty title? Daniel, you go first.
I mean, it's pretty hard to go past Sydney FC.
What? Sydney FC?
I mean, with based on my limited knowledge, obviously Courtney Vine. Just
Mackenzie Hawksby is the one you want to watch out for right now. Yeah. He killed it against Central Coast.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, I honestly can't say much. I've been very...
no worries at all. Make the prediction, move on. Andy, who's your prediction for the championship?
Oh, easy choice, mate. Melbourne City's going to win it. They've been the best team all season. Perfect. And they deserve it. They know they're only 2 points ahead of Sydney in the end, but they were ahead by a lot earlier in the season. And, yeah, been the best team all year. So, yeah, City's going to win it. And, yeah, look at last week, 3-0 away from home. So, yeah, they're going well.
Very, very true. I'm going to take Central Coast because I've got faith in Kaya Simon and Wurigamula, the Chinese gal out there on the wings for Central Coast. And I just like to be different. What can I say? But yeah, we'll keep you guys all updated with the Liberty as it finishes off. And obviously the A-League men's coming into finals too. So unless you guys have anything else you want to add to this week's podcast episode.
Nah, it's been a big one. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we covered everything, yeah.
Yeah, lots to cover, but we gave it a fair shake of the sauce.
Except for the All-Stars, A-League All-Stars, but we'll get to that next time.
The All-Stars, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Been quite squeezing the All-Stars. But it'll be more fun with Nick around for the All-Stars anyway. He loves a good All-Star.
Yes. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about my my picks for the team. It'll be some back and forth, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, stay tuned next week, everybody, all you lovely people, for Andy's Tom Cobbs on the A-League All-Stars. You can find us on www.onlinehubmedia.com is our website. At Online Hub Media is the Instagram. I'm losing track of my words. It's been a long podcast. And foreman.wall is also the Instagram. We've got two Instagrams because why the fuck not? I've been your host, Tashan. I've been joined by Damo, who is doing gang signs, I think. Wow, he spent too much time in the Auckland ghetto.
Two Instagram accounts.
And also Andy. Do you have a gang sign for us, Andy? fuck me. Alright, this has been the Four Man Wall. Thank you all.
50FC to their credit, kind of like switched on after they went down and conceded. They started Pepper and MacArthur, you know, a bit of Pepper, bit of Salt Bay action, but the salt landed on the chopping board and not the steak. All the peppering wasn't fruitful, and MacArthur landed the killer blow in the 86th minute with Valia Germain.